me so pretty, pretty. No time for city, city. Geeks want the dirty, dirty. Track me for matey, matey. Z is so witty, witty. So he don't witty, witty. Z is a cause you study and get to know me. Z is a first doctor, Z open for me. Alarm is my time.
Big shout out to everybody listening. Tuned in to QSJRadio.com, home to the unsigned artist. Today's special guest is Zexy. I want to let you know that Mad La is about to take you behind the scenes of one of music's industry most intriguing talents. I'm your host, Traffic Light, and in this episode, we'll delve into the captivating journey of Zexy, the artist redefining the boundaries of music. Zexy is known as also known as Uwefu. Don't worry, he's going to correct me later. Williams. He isn't your typical musician. He's signed to Maple Grove Entertainment. And his visionary is also an artistry transcends conventional norms. With his deeply layered vocals and boundary pushing production, Zexy challenges our perception of music itself. As you heard, people would consider him kind of like, you know, he's out there, he got them island vibes. But wait, there is more. Now based in the vibrant city of, I think he's in Brooklyn right now. Zexy's music is a testament to resilience and self-expression. His journey hasn't been easy. Losing his singing voice at 15 years old, plunged him into a battle with depression and anxiety. Yet from the depths of despair, he emerged stronger using music as his medium for healing and storytelling. Please welcome him, and as we uncover the essence of Zexy, the artist who refuses to be confined by limitation. His story is one of triumph, inspiration, and transformative power of music. This is Zexy. Zexy, what's up? How are you doing?
Thank you. That was such a wonderful, wonderful intro. Mr. Homeboy Zexy right here on QSJ Radio. What a world
to go. Yo, bro, I'm going to tell you, that was so sophisticating. But the thing is, it's kind of like exactly the vibe that you have been bringing. You know, you go in there, people know you for a picture, and then they come and see you and they're like, oh, he's really about this picture. And then sometimes when you go to a place, no one knows you, you kind of take it over already. They go like, yo, he's in full, like, dress code, costume, gear, whatever. But it's not a costume for you, right? It's not a costume. Everything that you wear is something. So I want to go to a little bit. First of all, happy birthday, bro. Happy birthday. Belated birthday, right?
Maybe so.
Yo, I was like, I was so mad because we was like scheduled last week and I had you. I basically had you on your birthday. And I was like, damn, man, I got them. But what'd you do to celebrate this year? What'd you do to celebrate?
Yeah. Honestly, I was recording like one of my new jams. I'm going to feature somebody here in New York, but I'm not going to say today. Because, I mean, I felt like that would have been the best way for me to celebrate my birthday. Because, you know, obviously, I'm from Lagos. I have a sister in Buffalo.
Okay.
Most of my friends are in Buffalo, New York. I don't have so many friends in the city. So I felt like one better way to celebrate my birthday than to make an iconic song that I'm going to look back on and say, oh, I'm really worried to say, you know, this song has more than 5 billion streams. I'm going to be like, yeah, I recorded it on my birthday. Oh, yes, sir. So I chilled. I got a haircut from, you know, my guy, Ricky, you know, Spanish guy, great guy. You know, he gives me the best haircut around here in Brooklyn. And I came back to the room and ate something, you know, took the very nice nap. And then I had to hit the basement, do some recording. And that was basically how I spent the birthday. And I really enjoyed it.
So you basically was chilling. You basically was chilling, which is good.
No long hangovers, no drink.
None of that. So, Zexy, you've been doing this a while, and this was a young age for you when not only you discovered this, but the family was starting to support this. Can you tell us a little bit about the first time that you knew you was going to be the guy on stage and start singing?
Yeah, it was when I was in high school. And then I just got into what you Americans call senior high.
Yes.
Yeah, we call it SS1. Yeah. Yeah, so that's senior secondary school one. So I joined the choir, and, you know, we used to sing songs like, you know, for people like Brandy, you know, and all of those songs and back in, you know, in class. But then in the choir, you know, sing gospel songs like Kirk Franklin and all that. So my choir mistress would come around, she would listen to the tone of my voice and then encourage me to sing better. And then I had to put in more work. So I started singing very well and I started hitting high notes. You know, and before you knew it, I was basically singing, you know, the song of female artists more than I was singing, you know, the songs of male artists.
Yeah.
My voice was good. And then all of a sudden, like a year or 2 years after then, I just lost the voice. And then I had this condition called rhinitis. Yeah. It's a condition where, you know, there are these two reddish stuff in your nose. We call them the turbinates. Mine overgrew and blocks the nose.
Wow.
Yeah. So sometimes I'm bringing from one of those three, and then the other one is completely shut. And then, I don't even know what happens physiologically. After like 3-4 hours, the one that is blocked gets open and then the other one shut. But that 4 weeks, so it was something that turned my life upside down. Because, yeah, you know, when at that young age, you're singing and every girl in class likes you.
I feel you on that. Wow. And now all of a sudden it stops. Wow.
Girls are like, okay, they take my bag and they put it close to them because they want to see close to me. So how that taking away from me was like, so, you know, I'll go home and tell my dad, look, I have this nasal issue. I think I need to see the doctor. And then I did a nasal surgery to cut the long story short. I came out worse than I entered because the doctor just messed with my nose. It became more inflamed. All of the reddish sores became, you know, bigger than they were before. So, and then he told me it was going to heal. It didn't heal. It got worse. I went back for another surgery 2 years after, and it was still just the same. So, after that time, I felt like, okay, I think I better start accepting reality that, you know, I may never be able to sing again as I used to. Then if I'm talking here, you barely can hear me. But my voice became so, like, baritone. And then, so I started to rap since I couldn't sing.
Wow.
So maybe this will tell you how I collected Donnie as a musician became. Because I started out as a singer. I wasn't really rapping. I could rap basically, but I didn't put much effort into it. But then when I stopped singing, I had to start putting so much effort into my rap since I couldn't sing. And then it took so many years after before, you know, I started getting my voice back just gradually. The minute I let go, I started having my healing and my voice gradually started coming back. And I still haven't gotten there. Obviously, I just have like 40% of my original voice right now that I'm singing with at the moment.
Wow.
I was so like, so deep into music and singing that, you know, even if you had taken away 50% of my voice, I would still be able to, you know, like sing. So I was that good. So it was very traumatic for me. But yeah, I guess it's just destiny taking me through the journey that I needed to go through to be the man I am right now. And you know, to put a spin to that, I remember that, you know, as a young man, having that voice, and I had enormous power that I couldn't control. So tribe setting, and there was a lot of things that I was doing back then that, in retrospect, I realized that, I was already having a lot of missteps.
Wow.
But then losing that voice led to a recalibration of my life. I started to realize the importance of the people around me and how much I really needed to appreciate them. And in that nothingness, I realized that whoever you are in life, is a function of what God has given you. And it's not because you've found it. It's just because God gave it to you. And you should use that to bless humanity and not use it as a leverage to,
wow,
to become a curse of some sort. So that was what I learned through that, that journey of my life.
So your gift of losing the gift and regaining a new gift is to give your gift to humanity. Wow. And no one learns that young. They learn that old.
You know, the funny thing is, this is something that spanned for another 15 years ago. Like, I lost the voice around 15, and then it spanned for another 15 years ago. So you can imagine the level, even when all the times I went for the studies was because I wanted that power. I wanted it back immediately, like the color of whatever blocked in my nose, so that I could get back to the next day that I once was, who is popular, and, you know, had all the girls. But when it didn't happen, slowly had to. My journey has been like a man who is trekking from Nigeria to America. Like, you know, you're having to go through everything in real time. All of the pain, nothing is set up for you. You have to go through it. You have to face. So that has been that part of my journey, and I thank God that I have that experience.
That's great. Big shout out to everybody listening. If you're just tuning in, we are live with Zexy out of Brooklyn, New York right now. Made his way out of Lagos, and that's in Nigeria, right? And well, he was talking about at a young age starting to sing. He had all the shorties around him. He was good, right? And then all of a sudden one day, a vocal cord situation started end up happening, and he ended up getting something that stopped him from that. And at that young age, when everything is being basically taken away from you, it really doesn't matter, right? It could be a breakup that happens. It could be something that happens in the house. But when it really personally starts affecting your everyday life, you go into kind of like an anxiety and a depression stage. And then he was talking about his recovery from that, which was, you know what? If I can't do this, I'm going to be a rapper, right? I'm going to just go ahead and spit bars. But that's not really what you're doing these day and age. And this is where we get into the message of his music, where it's, you know, I was given a gift. I probably looked at it crazy. And now I just want to go ahead and give a gift right back to humanity and during the music and things like that. Because not only do you, and I want to talk about, how you got signed, because, you know, a lot of people get hooked up, or they know somebody, or there's a startup and things like that. And then there's somebody that actually comes, has these meetings to you, call you up and things like that, and think that they could do something for you. Because not only are you a signed artist to Maple Grove Entertainment, you also sell music. And I want to tell people in the way that selling music, because everybody's like, oh yeah, I'm a rapper too, I sell music. No, you actually write songs for people for purchase, right? That game that every rapper wants to be part of, you actually do. And we won't mention who you did any songs for, because this is a business everybody knows. It's been happening for a long time. And anybody that has kind of that exclusive access, you know, people know that, you know, there's a lot of money involved in this. There's a lot of chances to get your name, on legendary artist hands. But it's still a grind for you on another case. But this signing to Maple, and you know, being taken serious from an entertainment group, it first of all is something amazing, because some people just hop on, they're signed to somebody and they find out they're just like a management team. It's not even a serious, but this is different because Maple got people. They hit me up like these. They are taking care of you, and I hope that you see that, and I hope that you know that is really happening. Because people have, you know, their dark stories of what goes on behind the scenes. Not every day is good, and we know that. But signing to Maple Grove, because that's somebody else taking you serious, not just you. So how was that experience for you, and when did you know that it was serious?
Yeah, it's been a wonderful experience with Maple Grove and Sherman. Because what happened was that I had a 9-to-5 job. Going to work every day was loathsome. I felt so sad. I was so depressed because, you know, every day I know that there is a message inside of me that I want to share with the world, but I couldn't do that. And then to make matters worse, I missed my sisters at school. So, and then I studied both in university. So I got a job in a research institute for oil palm.
Wow.
So literally, yeah, my research institute was like in a village, you know, in the university where I'm from in Nigeria. So you have to leave the town to a village where you have the largest part of land with the tree.
Yeah.
You're doing research. So, you know, everybody there is talking about something totally different with what aligns with my spirit. You know, they're talking about science. They're talking about, have you gotten your salary today? You know, every time I hear those things, it just reinforces the insecurities I had inside of me. About the fact that I didn't need to be there. So the funny part was when COVID happened.
Mm.
And, you know, there was mad protests. In Nigeria, there was this guy that, you know, I think there was this police brutality issue, and there was protests and all of that. You know, everyone was going crazy because, you know, there was lockdown and stuff. So every little thing had its fault. You know, George Floyd was out in America.
Yeah.
We had our own thing back in Nigeria. So I moved from Benin. I just took my bag, went to Benin because we were in a work. So I went to Lagos. You know, there was one of my songs titled Promised Man. It was a song from Nigeria. So I did it in like a viral video. I put it out there. And then that was when I did my first professional song, because there's this game called the Expert Entry game that Canada does. I was already on that scheme to leave Nigeria as, you know, like an expert. So my brother had already sent me money because, you know, there's this stuff they call proof of fund, but there's an amount you need to have in your account before you can be qualified for that scheme.
Wow.
My brother already sent me the money. But then when COVID happened, I asked myself, if the war should end today, because, you know, everything was uncertain, if you watch the end of the album, but ask you what you did with your gift of music, what are you saying? What are you going to tell me you did with that gift? And I couldn't answer that question. So that was how I went to the studio with that money. I paid the producer for that money. And then I did like my first really professional production. And then I shot the video from that money. And there was just a little left from that money. And then, you know, I still had my fantasies about what music was from the outside, because I wasn't, you know, like in mainstream. I, you know, went into marketing of music. And that marketing was such like a huge part of the entire deal. I thought you just needed a good song and it would blow up. So when I did the song, I did the video, I realized, oh man, the marketing, the little I've done with this, the the little that was left with money, I realized that it was going to take me nowhere. So I had to send the YouTube link of the video I did to my brother who was in Canada, who sent me the link. And, you know, he played the song. I was like, whoa, this is a good song. And, you know, I've always wanted to do something in entertainment. You know, so what I'll do, I'll set up a record label, I'll find you, and then, you know, from there, we can push the music business.
Wow.
So that was early 2021, and that was how Maple Grove Entertainment was born. So from there, we just, you know, started blending and bringing people on board, got a manager, got an assistant, and, you know, we're just writing songs and just throwing out there, trying to work with different people. And it's been a great time because I would say having to work with a team, you know, before it was just me writing the song, criticizing myself, but now I have to write the song, send it to the producer, send it to the team, send it to my brother, send it to the manager, and, you know, they get to criticize and tell me, oh, I think this one is good. Why don't you put this here? And it's been a teamwork. And it's been wonderful letting them in into the creative process and, you know, having that second, third year to listen to the song or criticize it.
Big shout out to everybody listening. If you just tuned in, we're on air right now with Zexy. So you did mention something about Canada and your relationship over there. And it brings me to this song that you released early fall, was Live. You did a song there with a artist Versus, and that was Versus. Is that, I said it wrong? Versus. So that song right there kind of caught me off guard. The visual, amazing. Cried? Yes, I did. So what? But I cried in a way that I was, you know, just my reaction to the song was, I really need to look at other things differently, right? Mm-hmm. I need to look at things differently. I sat here. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I think I need to listen to the song at least 10 more times. And it's not to get used to it. It's to put my mind state in there, because it's a beautiful mind state to be. Now, this song right here, I'm gonna assume it was done because of, you know, mental health awareness or something like that, to the point. Now, if anybody's in the chat right now and you're going through something, please, please, please listen to the song. It's gonna be really lovely. We're about to play the video for the people. Me and you will just listen to it. Actually, I'm gonna watch it. I mean, you're just gonna, you know how the video goes, right? But I want to introduce people to this song, because this is, while doing the research, one of the major crossovers is you have done for your genre and your artistry, which is basically almost like a lo-fi type pop, type hip hop track. So, you know, and it's something very emotional for those out there going through something. So we'll talk about the song right after and how it came about. But I really want to introduce people to this song, because I really think this is exactly the way that you're trying to go and to pursue a bunch of the music that you got going on. And if I'm wrong, just let me know, because I know that you're kind of diverse, and we'll talk about all that. But this is Zexy and Versus. Is called Live. I want you guys to go to like maplegroveentertainment.com, and, you know, you can see all the music there. But definitely this is on YouTube if you guys want to do the YouTube thing. But if you really want to see the future of African music, please go to Maple Grove Music, Maple Grove Entertainment. But here it is right now, Zexy and Versus Live on QSJRadio.com.
I change the lead. Me by, did all I had to do, paid all the sacrifice, but nothing went as it should. My misery, yeah, it's shocking me. The Titanic is starting to sink.
Shout out to everybody listening. Tune in to QSJRadio.com. All to the unsigned artist. But we got a Maple Grove signed artist in the building. Listen. That has a lot. And some people, they probably can't handle half of that. Give me a second real quick. Okay, shut that off. The song, I'm sure, like, the reaction already in the chat is amazing. And I wish that I could figure out how you could see it. People want to work. People want to, you know, they saying banger. People, they probably crying right now. It's all, he's on me. I'm emotional. It's all good. I don't care. But that song is deep and is very subtle with the wordplay, right? It's not there's not so much to be used. It's very not much. It's not cliche. You get what I'm saying? So that's one of the things that it separates it from a lot of things. You and Versus, was it you? Did you open a verse? What was going through to the mind state of not only like putting the song together, but you know, when you go in and you see yourself in the video, I know you've been doing this for a long time, but I could see you in the video. You're like, people do not understand where this is coming from. Like, and you got the back, listen, I don't know what, listen, that was freaking fire, and the message is clear, right? Mm-hmm. So how did this song come about, man? Because man, this is amazing.
Yeah, thank you. So well, for me, my creative process is usually about when I have a message, you know, it's just there in my subconscious. Sometimes it's both part of a song without hearing a beat. Sometimes I just hear a beat and then I kind of sing on the beat. So what happened that day, I was in my house in Davis. I had my producer, he was in my house, we were working on the beat. And then I just found myself singing because I always wanted to do a song about mental health and what I've been through with my natural issue and my voice blockage and all the pressure I went through. So I wanted to do something positive. So as the beat was playing, I just started singing,
I'm trying to figure out, like, cause I know studio vibes sometimes, and sometimes studio vibes, no one's recording when you're doing the testing, right? So I'm like, how did you make sure that you caught that? Because that was crazy.
Yeah, so I started writing the song, And then I told my producer, I know, I like this beat. So, you know, he was making it for another song. So I told him, okay, let's create something for Lee. The title of the song is Lee, because, you know, on that song, I was telling people that I, in spite of everything, even if I'm empty inside, so rather than look at the negative of being empty, you know, when you put something on water, if it's empty, it flows to the surface. That's why I use that line, like, you know, when I'm empty inside, I rather rise and flow.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So I started to put the words together. We finished the song. I felt like, okay, why don't we, like, there's a full version of the song. And this is just something that came up at the very brainstorm when we released the song. We're like, okay, and there's this Canadian rapper that my manager named, Jamie. So he was like, oh, he thinks Versus can really kill the song. And then I had a meeting with Versus, and I really saw that he had a vision for the song. So, and then he did this thing, sent it back to us, and we really liked it. And then I said, okay, let's just do a video. And then we went to Little Stony Point, somewhere in New York here. The director said he liked the environment, but I wanted somewhere natural.
Oh, man. I know that place. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yo, beautiful. Yeah, they won't even believe you in New York. They won't even believe it.
So we got the actress. I wanted someone who was like to act like she was depressed, like she wanted to commit suicide. And that was when we saw her go to the edge of the cliff and just when she wanted to fly over. I came like a guardian angel.
She did very good. She did very good. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, like when she was crying and all that. In fact, I had to beg her not to go closer because she was really close to the edge of the tree. I was like, please, I'm here to shoot this for you.
Not a tribute, right? Like, what the fuck?
That's a very interesting for reading and things. And then we did the video, and I saw the footage, I really liked it. The entire team was happy with it. And we decided to like, okay, put a message behind it for all those, you know, who went through mental health stuff. I mean, I've been blessed with a very strong heart. I've weathered a lot of storms, but I don't know if there are so many people who can go through the things that I went through and I still have the ability to smile. So, but basically, what a lot of people take away from that song is that you always have a choice either to live or to die. Either to let your situation suppress and depress you or allow it to elevate you and take you to a new level. Mm. Like I was telling you about my story, I wouldn't have honed my rapping skills if my voice hadn't been taken away from me. I wouldn't know the value of humility if my voice wasn't taken away from me. So I could look at the negative side and let it depress me, or look at the positive side and let it elevate me.
Mm.
So like, I just want people to see life, always look at life as they see the life situation. If you look at it from here, it's 6. If you look at it from here, it's 9. Just choose a side that is positive and go on that side and give it a brighter view rather than from the darker side. So that's what my song
is. Zexy with Live on Versus. Listen, Versus is on there. He's killing it too. You know, shed light to that Canadian rapper. You know, it's all love out, man. Man, oh my. I love it. It's crazy. Kind of like threw me off a little bit because it wasn't, you know, we wasn't in the club, right? We wasn't doing something crazy. So let me work on something real quick because I know a lot of people are going to ask questions. The image that you are right now, doing. First of all, shout out to the immaculate body you have, right? Like, you know, dudes ain't going to tell nobody that shit, but I got a one pack, you know, the round one, right? I got, yo, listen, those, you know, when you scroll in and whatever and these commercials come up, I get dad bod commercials. That's the ones I get, right? Listen. Yeah, it's under there somewhere. It's under there. So, and now what people don't understand, and I want to make sure people understand it clearly, the image is not just an image to you. It is something of a persona. The last time anybody has seen a male with jewels on their face or mask and maybe a armor type of looking thing is in probably the movies in like 300 or something like that, where they forget that that's emperor. That's an emperor. That's a very defining person in history. Now, I don't know what those things are called, and I didn't have enough time to Google. So let me know, you know, the persona that you chose for yourself, because, man, it's working.
Thank you. Okay. You know, it all goes down to, you know, like the subconscious that I talk about. I've always seen myself as a superhero. I have kids, so when they see me on my outfit, they run up to me, and some of them, like, I was in Nairobi, Kenya, and then they came across, you know, the road, and I came to meet me on the mind, and I said, oh, my son was asking, what's the name of that superhero? Because I was wearing my all white armor and face, everything, you know. And when I was not off me, I'm looking like the baddest guy on the planet. So I kind of told my friends, I don't smile, you know. I had to go over there and say hi to the kid. But it's just the way I see myself. Like, I have a stable mentality. I like to stay in a situation. I like to be the guy who rescues the day. I don't easily give in to pressure. So all of those things kind of, you know, make me want to appear that same way. I want to look fierce. I want to look like I could walk through fire and come out on the other side unscathed and all. So I kind of wanted to build that image and make people see me like that. So, I mean, I that was when I got that outfit. You know, I got the face gear and, you know, just started putting all the look together. And got the white boots. And the first time I walked out of my manager's house in Lagos, I mean, I had people, you know, stopping and just being on camera phones just to film me.
Yeah, definitely.
So I really liked it. Ever since then, I just tried to evolve the look and try to, you know, do one or two things here and there. So that's just it. I just see myself as a superhero and I want to move down.
Yo, okay. So let me tell you, you know, there's a lot of saving that's needed in the world these days, right? So you got a tough job out there. And during doing it through music, it seems to be very impactful. And I'm sure that you have so many stories of people giving them their feedback and what you have done for them in their, with your music. Can you share a time where someone gave you their story of what you've done for them with your music?
Yeah. This kind of like an indirect one. I remember Versus reaching out to me and told me that he had a friend. We just hit him up and was like, you know, was listening to the song and, you know, the song really ministered to him. And, you know, he was just thinking about all the things in life that he had been through and all that. I've had people, you know, sending DMs on Instagram, just telling me how they feel about the music and how they really felt something. And then sometimes I go through comments across just different social media platforms. Just to see how people feel, and it's quite elating to know that the message is cutting through and getting across to people. Like I usually would tell folks, no matter the amount of drugs you do, you still have to come back to reality to face your pressures. So I usually tell, because you know, in the music business, a lot of people want to do drugs and get high. I usually tell them, you know, not a lot of drugs can give you great songs. You know, you just allow yourself into the music, allow yourself get inspired by whatever it is that you're feeling, and let it flow right out of you. So I'm happy that, you know, with the people that I work with, we inspire ourselves. They look up to me, I look up to them, but I don't fail to always let them know that no amount of drugs will take you out of your reality. You have to come back from that high to face it. So rather than get high and maybe OD or something, just face what it is and try to see how you can work your way through, rather than trying to hide away from it. So that's pretty much what I want people to take away from music, and I'm happy that they've been feeling it.
Big shout out to everybody listening. Zexy is here. We're talking about a whole bunch of things, but we're going to talk about him right after this last break that we're going to have about what's coming up. What is it that we're going to hear from him and his crew next? But I want to give a little bit, because, you know, it's kind of Thursday, and I got this song Obsession that really took off on Spotify, really took off on all music platforms, basically, and gave you kind of like almost like leverage in the music industry. This is a feature also with Natasha Gartner, right? Yeah, and you know, this is really did a lot for you, and we'll talk about it right here after this break on QSJRadio.com. Big shout out to everybody listening. Obsession. You can find that on that Spotify. It's almost at 1 million. Oh, I'm so proud of you for that. I'm so proud of you for that. I mean, I'm sure that it's not about the numbers all the time. But in this industry, you got to look at them. You know, how is the song responding and things like that. Knowing that that song went ahead and took off, and, you know, is not one of so many songs that basically has been taking your name all over the world. And not only that, you're bringing a bunch of people with you. You're bringing a lot of features, a lot of great, great artists with you. That song went ahead and broke you into a world where now they understand. Like, where is it coming from? And I could, and if for people who are not understanding, Zexy was a rapper, you know, and he's also a singer, you know, and he's also a writer and all that. And those are kind of the displays that we've been showing here, where people are not realizing the diversity in the artistry. Obsession, it took off. How the hell did you feel about that? Cause I know that was crazy.
Yeah, it was beautiful. You know, I remember when I got the song, and you know, I always wanted to do something sexy and something just to put people in that haze where they're feeling kind of like, you know, very mushy kind of mood. So when the song came, we needed a female singer. And then we reached out to Natasha Gardner. She's South African. And she did a couple of takes. We listened to them and, you know, just kept on brushing up on the song. And finally, we were able to to hit it hard and then sends it to the other engineer again in New York. And then he mixes it and sends it back to us. And then we got the promoters on board and, I started pushing it, everywhere. And, it got to where it is today. But it was fun working with Natasha. She was a great person to work with. She gave it her all. These days I just like collaborations because, it has worth taking the song to the next level when you put some lineups on it. They come in their energy, they come in their vibe. And, things just go real quick for that.
So one thing that I really started recognizing, not only because of you and Maple Grove, the organization of releasing a track. a lot of people come out with a track and they, they're not even looking at it. They're not like, maybe we should go back, and mix it, blah, blah. Is it hard for an artist like yourself to hold on to music before releasing it? Because man, sometimes it just sits there for a little bit, but people got, it's just like, oh my God, where's the song already? Or, there's dependencies, there's constraints, there's a whole bunch of things going on. But I already could tell that your mission is, if I'm going to release something, it's going to be fire. It's not going to be something that, I is not touched. Oh, I could have done better on this and stuff like that. How hard is it for you to hold on to a song before releasing?
Yeah, basically, releasing of the song is a prerogative of the record label. What I do is that when I have a song, I try to look at what I'm trying to achieve with that song, the kind of mood, the type of lyrics I want to work with. Like for Obsession, just the title of the song tells you, you could hear from the child, it's almost like they're trying to enchant people and get them in a certain type of trance and all that. So the title of the song, the mood, just tells me the texture of voice and the way I'm going to approach that song. I'm going to approach it in an aggressive way. I'm going to take it mellow. So, when I've been able to achieve the mood and the texture and all of those things I want to put in the song, then I know that, okay, it's about to leave my hands. So, whoever is mixing and mastering, that person does this thing. We give it a couple of reviews and I'll just keep listening and do more mixes and, drop this volume here and raise the bars and drop the cymbal and, all of those sounds that make up the music. And we just keep balancing everything. And when we think we've gotten the right balance from what we can hear, we go ahead to master the song. And if it's something that we think is, right for the market at that time, we put it out there. So that's basically if we think, it's something that people are going to buy to, put it out. I think you guys should listen to Original too. Original there.
But yeah.
When poor West Indies, I was doing my Jamaican thing, So I like taking on these different personalities. Like I said, I'm an eclectic musician. I'm a type of one genre, a rap, a thing. I'm working on an album right now, and it's titled Every Sound. So it's going to go down as the most eclectic album in the world.
Wow.
So R&B, rock and roll, rap, country music, reggaeton, reggae, dancehall, Afrobeat, high life, name it, all popular genres, orchestra, jazz, It's an album that the world has never seen before. I'm changing tones, I'm changing texture, I'm changing style, I'm changing beats, I'm changing cultures. So it's titled Every Song. It's going to drop later part of this year. I just want to do a couple of singles first and then, we'll be ready to go.
Oh man, I'm going to be following that. You know what I mean? There's going to be exclusives out here. Big shout out to everybody listening in. So You know, and I know you just talked about how the album is coming. Spring is here in, Northern Hemisphere. What's coming up for you? Where can we see you? Because I know you about to hit the stage. I know you about to do a bunch of things, right? So where can people come and see you? Because, you know, I'll be in and out of New York. So, and I got a fan base there, too.
Yeah. We're working on, we're basically just doing the album right now.
Okay.
I haven't really started touring it. Yeah, do one or two shows here and there, but I haven't really like gotten into the tour mode yet. So we're going to get this album out of the way. I mean, this album has like 25 tracks.
Oof. World tour right there. There you go.
We're trying to stick to the theme of the album, which is every song. I mean, you know, I have like 6 Afrobeat songs, and then I had to do like 2 country music. I had to do 1 folk music. I had to do a pop song. I had to do an R&B song, you know. And then all of these genres, you could have 2-3 songs, and you know. So I'm trying to just get the album together because that's how I want the world to see me, as someone who can break boundaries, as someone who has no limitations. That's just what I'm about, and I want people to believe in themselves and see themselves as people who don't have limitations. That's the mode I'm in right now. Album mode, hopefully, when I'm ready to tour, I should be able to come on UMD Radio.
Oh, definitely. 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 Let me know. I'll put it everywhere I can help. So, one more question before I let you go. And I do really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, letting us know the story from the young days, being very, very transparent. Like, yo, I lost all my shorties. Like, let's get serious. A lot of people, you know, they wouldn't talk about it because they all just say, you know, like, I couldn't talk. I couldn't speak. I couldn't raise my hand in class. Who says that? Nobody, right? So, but one of the biggest things is that you kind of are signed, and being on the grind, you meet a lot of the unsigned, and a lot of them have this view of what this music industry really is. And some of it could be the same, and some of it is different, and it's very different because when you have a team around you, you know something positive is going to come out and something is going to happen great when everybody's in the same page. But when you meet those unsigned guys, especially the people that have talent, they're going in and things like that, what are some of the advice that you would try to give them if you ever had the chance to, or if you can, what kind of advice would you give a new aspiring artist on their journey?
Yeah, I'll tell them to put themselves out there. Thank God for social media. That is basically giving everyone a shot at fame. So if you can put yourself out there, try to get people to listen to your music. It's not easy, but you know, maybe run some ads on some of your content that you think are nice. Send them to record labels and get them to listen to you. Because you know, in this game without funding, you know, where it's very hard to do it all and stuff. So you're certainly gonna need, no matter how independent you are, at some point you're gonna need a team, and a team needs money to function, which a record label can get you. So just put yourself out there, get more social savvy, you know, go to shows, on paid shows, and show them your talent. There is somebody in the crowd that is listening. No one invests in your career, so no holds barred. If you're a good songwriter, write for the artist. Don't put so much, you know, I have some guys that I used to know that would, you know, you're not blown yet. People don't know you. I keep telling people, oh, you're a brand. Yeah, everyone is a brand. But then you need to do some things right now. You cannot be calling yourself. You want to compare yourself with Drake right now. you know, yes, there are things Drake doesn't need to do because it's flawed. There are things that the Bad Bunny doesn't need to do because it's flawed. So if you want to start comparing yourself to them, that you're a brand, and because Drake doesn't do this, and you're not going to do it, you know, you don't want to go perform because maybe they did change. But then you're not known yet. You need to go to at least know you first before you can say, yes, I'm this brand, I'm not going to go for an unpaid show. So you should learn to put yourself and understand your level and your fame at time. So you know how to graduate from that stage. If you put yourself higher than where you are, you may never get to the level where you're assuming yourself to be.
Oof. Oof. You know, I really appreciate that, because I get the cliche, stay to yourself, do this, do that. But in reality, a lot of unsigned artists really need to understand, you're not paid enough, you're not big enough to try to put yourself in a position where you should be. It is good to think that way about yourself, but if you don't have hundreds of thousands and millions of views going on, and you can't prove that, and you can't bring 200, 300 people to a venue, you might want to shut up and just take the opportunity for what it is. You know, it's not about hate. It's not about knowing your value. You have to know what your value is right now. And if your value is $5 and you can't flip that, you know what I mean? Like, you need to shut up. And I really do appreciate the one thing that you said right now, where if you got to get a team together, and it's going to take funding to get that team running. And that's the truth, because nobody does things for free. And that's why a lot of people get mad that their cousin ain't sharing their damn Spotify link. And you getting mad because mommy didn't show, you know, you getting mad because we're supposed to be peoples and I didn't. Shut up. You a $5 rapper. You know what I'm saying? And you owe me those $5. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Big shout out to everybody listening. Tune in to QSJRadio.com. Zexy, it's been amazing having you on here, talking to us, chilling. We showed the video. We're going to end it on that Z-Grind. Z-Grind is available out right now, people, on all streaming platforms. Please go ahead and stream that. And Zexy, whenever that, you know, your peoples call me. Your peoples call me. Yo, do that.
So, really big on me. Like, I enjoy this energy right here. I've done a lot of interviews, but this one right here, top notch, professional, lovely. You know, everything is just great energy. I really appreciate opportunity to be on your platform and share my story. I wish you more blessings, more greater heights. I mean, QSJRadio.com. Top.
Yo. Good looking now, bro. Yo, good looking now, Zexy. Make sure you guys follow on them. And if you guys find them at MapleGroveEntertainment.com. Stop playing. Big shout out to everybody listening.
All my social media platforms, Instagram at Mr. Zexy, FROZESDY, Facebook, ZESDY, TikTok, FROZESDY.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to follow you on TikTok today. Let's go. Let's do that. All right, Zexy. This is Z Grind. You guys go stream that. Zex, we'll talk to each other later, okay, fam? Go get some water. We'll talk soon.